Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hi guys, I'm so glad you're here today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I am so happy that you're here. Basically, Dr. Rochelle and I bonded over today's topic. We knew we were going to be totally in alignment and amazing practitioners together in our similar philosophies and approach when we started to talk about nutrition. Both of us have really had our own personal journeys around food and body image, and we get pretty honest about how we, you know, maybe sort of we're a little bit, you know, misaligned in the early days of practice with some of the things we were recommending, and how we've taken all the lessons, both as naturopathic doctors being in practice and as individual people, and how we have come up with something that is sustainable, approachable, relatable, and how we just want to share that with you today. So yeah, grab a cup of tea and let's get started. Hello, Dr. Rochelle. So great to chat again.
Yes, nice to hear you. It's been a while.
It has been the busyness of the summer. We're back to recording. I'm just loving doing these with you. It's so fun.
I know, we practice so similarly. So it's kind of like we're just having a conversation about what we do. It's fantastic.
And get a sense of like what they would get if they come and see us, how what the experience would be like, and just really our philosophy. So I just really appreciate your time, and let's dive in this week around nutrition. I think both of us are excited about this topic.
Yes, it's actually my favorite topic, so yeah. I'm very excited to dig in here.
Yeah, and why do you think why do you love it so much? Like, what's so exciting about it? Why do you think that this is like we were just, you know, just biting at the bit to get started with this talk?
Yeah, my goodness, it's the foundation of what I do, and it affects so much. And in my practice, personally, I have so many people doing keto, fasting, low-cal, macro counting, relying on all these apps and programs, but they're kind of a slave to a food schedule, and the relationship with food is just so poor, and it doesn't really get them anywhere in the end. Sure, people lose weight over a month or 6 weeks, but it's not sustainable, and often they're worse off after doing these programs. So I was thinking of one very popular program right now that has psychology involved, and I was just looking on Instagram, and they said, like, one of the questions, what has more calories, almond milk or oat milk? Honestly, the calorie difference is 30 calories. And like, it's still calorie counting. It's still like, I like to undo all this diet culture, to be honest.
Oh my goodness. And yes, exactly. Undo. And for me, what that really looks like is having people begin to trust themselves again. Like, I feel like so many of us have moved away from trusting what our own body is telling us.
You couldn't say it better. And that's what kids do really well. They know when they're full. They know when they're hungry. Yes, they eat a ton one day and they'll eat nothing the next, but it's what their body needs. And they just have this innate intuition that we lose, especially when we start to be consumed by diet culture. And it's so liberating when you're not consumed by the thoughts of food.
Yeah. And I think, you know, being able to trust yourself, you know, I knew that I was really moving towards more of a healed relationship with food. And again, I've been on my own personal journey around food, body dysmorphia, calorie restriction, and understanding the ability to walk into anywhere, you know, to pick up a menu and be able to lean into what does my body want and need right now. And sometimes that's like a cheeseburger and French fries, you know, and
Oh,
sometimes it's a
100%.
salad. It's
Yeah.
like, yeah, it's such a the word freedom is so huge around that, you know, ability to just know what your body needs. And I will often say the, you know, patients making the better than choice for themselves. And sometimes the better than choice is really the ice cream cone. It really is about having that experience and the pleasure that you're going to get from that with your family or your child. And that is actually exactly what your body needs, even though it might spike your insulin, even though it might, you
Yeah.
know, cause you to. It's like really about trusting what your body is telling you. And so I feel like that's a big part of what we both do when we're approaching nutrition within practice, within patient care. So can you tell me a little bit about your approach and how you support patients in really coming home with what their body needs?
For sure. Well, I have to say, when I started as a naturopath over 10 years ago, I was like, why not just do an elimination diet? Take out gluten, take out dairy, it's easy. And then I grew up and I also became a parent and I realized how difficult that is. I never make those recommendations unless absolutely indicated. And I also think there's sweeping statements like vegan is good for everyone, or like certain ways to eat, but what if somebody doesn't tolerate beans and lentils that well? Is that really good for them? And you also have to look at their genetics. So somebody from Northern European descent may tolerate dairy than somebody from I don't know, Japan. So things have to be taken into consideration.
And I think that ability to really, I think again, that recognition of individualization, right? So as naturopathic doctors, that's kind of our jam. And individualization is what the body needs, but it's also about what you can ex access. I mean, understanding that your nutrition when you're a new mom, from a what does your body need, especially if you're nursing, but also the time you have is potentially going to be very different than maybe if you're, you know, at a stage of your life where you have more time and more energy to put towards preparing foods and things like that. So I really think the individuality is about what the body needs, but also what is easily accessible for each person.
Yes, 100%. And some people are so busy, they make decisions every day from 8 in the morning until 6 at night, and then comes dinner, and it's just one more decision. So how can we make that easier for people where like, yes, pizza, have the pizza, but can you have it with a salad as well?
Oh my gosh, anyone who's out there is my patient is going to laugh out loud because that's like my example. You add the, you know, throw a handful of spinach on top of the pizza, you know, eat the pizza, just have it with a side salad. So now what you're doing is you're balancing out what your body is receiving, and you're also, you know, looking at creating, you know, that recognition of keeping the quantity of that food within something that your body is going to be able to receive and process. And you know, you're not moving into that all or nothing thinking that is so common with the diet mentality.
Totally. It's funny. I use the same example all the time as well. Of course we do. And I was just also thinking those bag salads are so wonderful. They're very simple. Like they're not very elaborate in terms of the vegetables, but it's a nice base and just like add things in, add some color. And honestly, it's a salad in like 5 minutes. So yeah, just easy little tools in the evening to make it more easier to stick to,
And
basically.
one of the things too that I think is really important is recognizing, and again, you know, when we're looking, we've had this conversation often around looking at, okay, how do we create the external cues, as you mentioned, the choices we make. So the choices we make influence our physiology, but then also knowing what the physiology needs. So there's a little bit of that bumping up against one another. And I think a really important thing is sometimes when we're learning, like anything in life, learning a new skill and or reteaching ourselves a new skill, which could be something as foundational as eating, we want to be able to, maybe it's not rule based, but maybe we have a little bit of those anchors through the day. So I know if I don't eat enough through the day, then of course I'm going to be eating bowls of ice cream at night. So, you know, looking at understanding what our body needs, and that's where the education comes in, right? So when you're working with a patient, really looking at what they're doing, less around judgment, less around shame, of course, which is what, you know, most of us do when we look at our nutrition. But, you know, you looking at it from the perspective of curiosity and opportunity. Oh, wait a second. If you add a little bit of Greek yogurt here, then later on in the day, you're not going to have that same craving for sugar. So it's that perspective, I think, that's so key when we're reteaching our physiology alongside of reteaching our behaviors.
Yeah, and it's a really, really powerful tool to realize there's no good food, bad food. And the way I operate is actually adding foods in and instead of taking them out. And it's like a miracle. All of a sudden, the bad foods, in quotations, are actually crowded out. You're meeting those nutritional needs. Your sugar's being balanced, your blood sugar. So it's just it's reframing, basically.
Yeah. And I think both of us realize that there's nothing sexy in this, right? So that's actually a little bit of, I think, also part of moving into this healed relationship with food is really realizing that there isn't any quick fix. It isn't going to look and have this, you know, sort of Instagram worthy message, because it is that simplistic, like you said, that going back to the basics, the things we learned in grade two about nutrition. I will often tell moms, kids lunch. And are you eating in the same way that you're packing your kids lunch? Something as foundational, I mean, we're heading into back in school of saying, okay, you know, a lot of us are still working from home and, you know, getting into those, being in those patterns of missing meals, missing snacks. What about if you packed a third lunch and, you know, you created the little bento box of hummus and carrots and a boiled egg, you know, the same lunch that you would create for your child. Can you do that for yourself?
That's a great idea.
Quantities and just, you know, snack on that through the day. It really doesn't have to be so complex. It's difficult because we're basically having to unpack our relationship around food and our beliefs around food and our body. And then we're also teaching our physiology something new. So be kind to the learning curve on that, but recognize that it doesn't have to be so complicated. When you're having to track everything or, oh, I can only eat between this hour and this hour, if it seems complex, it's because it's not supposed to be. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I mean, I had recently a patient, she had been tracking for 5 years and a constant, really poor relationship with food, especially when she fell off track and she'd be very self-deprecating. And what she did, like, finally we got her off from tracking and she didn't gain any weight and she was able to eat with her family. She wasn't making two meals. She wasn't obsessing. And it was just a beautiful thing. And it just, It kind of reminded me why I love what we do.
It works, right?
Yeah, it works.
Why, I mean, this is maybe a deeper question, a whole other podcast episode. Why do you think it's become the way it is? Like, why is basic, simplified, common sense nutrition so difficult for people to lean into and then, you know, feel like it's not enough? Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that is a complex question, but I think it has to go, it goes way back until basically entering the workforce, right? There's less home cooked meals, there's fast food, and just the options are so much easier. And we've lost that, I guess, that foundation of having a home cooked meal three times a day. And honestly, we don't need to do that, but fast food is just so available that it's kind of, it's just easier, right? We want easier. Our lives are more hectic and the easiest is the best. It's the go-to.
Well, and then you add in that these foods do have all the addictive components, right? So the physiology is along for the ride. And so, you know, there are times and place where I meet using abundance thinking, adding more fruit, you know, really being mindful of hydration. So the focus really is not what are we avoiding, but what are we adding, but like retraining the physiology to almost withdraw from those foods that we have become addicted to, really, on some level.
Yeah, 100%. It's a huge market. It's a moneymaker, these addictive foods. So 100%.
And then you throw in the diet culture, which is all based basically on restriction. You look at everything right now, I mean, you look at every single thing you mentioned in the beginning, paleo, you know, keto, intermittent fasting, it's all whether you're restricting time, whether you're restricting a whole macro, like a protein, fat, or carb, whether you're restricting a certain type of food, it's all, you know, animal protein or gluten. It's all based on that philosophy of restriction. And I mean, just take a step back from that in general, it really is that messaging of not trusting and not just having foods that our body is wanting and needing, and we're like being in our heads about it. It becomes very prescriptive as opposed to intuitive.
And you know what I really like is habit-based learning. So not changing somebody's eating lifestyle in one day, but perhaps starting with a healthy breakfast is something that can be incorporated right away, and then it becomes a habit, and then you go on to the next thing. So I find that pretty effective too.
So the sort of atomic habits, the stacking habits, right? So
Yes.
one thing leads to another, this leads to another. And I think that is wonderful when we think about sort of the take home from this. Many of you back to, I don't know, I always think about back, the fall is almost being like a new chapter, right? It's that starting new. And so I've even had to check in with myself, recognizing, okay, my kid's back at school now after really long, at home, being at home through the pandemic. Okay, how can I clean things up? And like really catching yourself around that, because that is often the first thinking. So it's like allow the thoughts to be there. Allow that oh, what can I do different? How do I, how do I lose weight? Or how do I, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to do keto, or I have a friend who's fasting. I'm going to try that. Like really checking in with that and almost allowing that to be there as the first thought, and then realizing that's probably not your thought. That's a societal thought. That is maybe a family, a belief system from wounds in childhood. Like there's belief systems at play. So it's not about rejecting the thought, it's and making the thought wrong, but actually leaning into that is the first thought. What's the truth of that? And how do I support myself as opposed to feel like I have to be, rigid in my thinking?
You can totally reframe your thought pattern. It's possible. It's not, again, not going to happen in a day, but it takes practice. I also just wanted to mention, in terms of diet culture, thin is glorified as being healthy. And I've spoken about this in the past podcast, but I'm just thinking of fitness models, like that's the role model people are looking towards. And the issue is, like, I've done this. I've done a fitness model. I was a fitness model in a magazine, and I got down to 10% body fat, and I weighed everything from asparagus to like chicken, and I had a poor relationship with food, and I also lost my menstrual cycle for like 4 months, which has never happened in my life. So to get to that level, that's what it takes, and it is the most unhealthy thing you could do ever.
I 100% agree. And I think that is when we're looking, when we're looking at, scrolling through our feeds or, looking at different bodies and recognizing many people, the cost to get there is it worth it, right? Is it worth, I think we all have set points, and probably a big part of this healing process is leaning into acceptance. Acceptance, for myself, acceptance of, larger hips or cellulite or, and these are things that until we accept, we're always going to be fighting against or feel like we can't see our body for the strength or see the body for its ability to move us through our days. And if we're always in that negativity bias of what's not happening in our bodies and trying to constantly use food and exercise to change something, then we're never ever going to feel we're always fighting. We're always fighting against ourselves. We're always fighting against our bodies. And people talk so much about self-love. Well, self-love is not getting into the bikini with a six-pack. Self-love is the ability to accept, accept a cellulite. And I think that's been a huge edge of growth for me. And I may share this often because I don't know. I mean, I'm like, in well into my life as a woman who is, moving through perimenopause and menopause, and it still creeps in. So it's a lifelong journey, and a lifelong journey of unraveling for ourselves, for our children, for our nieces, for our daughters and our nieces and our the people. Like there's doing the work now is also going to have a rippling effect for every person we touch. So it's not an easy journey. We don't just snap our fingers and say, oh, I'm going to heal this relationship with food. But I think it's really important to just bring awareness to the fact that maybe there is, some dysfunction often in that and start to really challenge ourselves when we move into that thinking of, oh, well, I just won't eat carbs anymore, or I'll eat between the hours of noon and six. Like, really lean into the intuition of your own body wisdom, which is going to tell you right off the back, that's like, that's bananas. Like, that's
yeah.
just not, that's just ridiculous, you know?
I know.
So
I know.
I think our bodies tell us, but we don't trust it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can take homes from this. Yeah. Take homes from this podcast. I mean, there's a lot here, and clearly we're going to dive deeper into this in future episodes, but
yeah.
the take homes from this, I would say, you know, really some recognition that the physiology isn't along for the ride. So, you know, it's not about using foods to control or to implement body change, but really leaning into as supporting us on abundance around eating more of the, as you mentioned in big air quotes, foods, healthy foods, or foods that are going to support us, you know, the obvious, right? More fruits, more vegetables. My daughter's sick right now, and, you know, she's 8, and she said to me, "Mommy, I'm not going to have any sugar till I feel better." And it's like, wow. Like, you know, I mean, maybe that's a little naturopathic mom thinking, but it's like, wow, she just knows. She's listening
yeah.
to her body. And, you know, it's just recognizing that, you know, how do we support ourselves with the ultimate goal of not losing weight or achieving some external outcome, but actually realizing that we know what our body needs. So quieting down the loud messages of diet culture alongside with supporting the physiology so that that's in balance. So that's
yeah.
my take home. What's yours?
You tell yeah.
me what yours
okay.
is.
Well, put down the app and listen to your body. So
okay.
are you hungry? Are you full? I'm really, really tune in to how you're feeling. Eat at regular hours.
Mm-hmm.
Don't skip meals. If
mm-hmm.
like sometimes it happens, whatever, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would emphasize the food groups. Like, these are really basic. I realize
mm-hmm.
this, but there's a reason why they're recommended. I don't want to hear the good food versus bad food mentality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a quotation, a food that you consider a bad food, I want you to drop the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Be flexible, include a variety. Like, all these things are going to heal a poor relationship with food.
Yeah, it sounds that basic because it is that basic. Now, simple is not easy because, again, you're having to unpack all of this. You know, it almost seems, you know, like how can this be possible? How can, you know, getting up and having a balanced breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 3 meals a day, who knew, could be sort of the answer to not only your physical but also your mental, emotional relationships around food, but. Trust us, guys. Like, we've been around the block. I think you have, but we've all tapped into our journey. I think we've, you know, you can either hear it directly or between the lines. Both of us have struggled with dysmorphia, you know, body images and restrictive food. And, you know, so we have experienced this, but also really worked with patients. And I can say, much like you, in the beginning of my career, I was all about, you know, elimination diets and detoxing. And, you
yeah.
know, I was suggesting it. And I was, in naturopathic medicine, we have something, you know, one of our philosophies is first do no harm. And I can say, again, with my open, compassionate heart, that was harmful. There were
yeah.
times when that was harmful. Obviously the intention was good, but but harmful. And so allowing yourself to, like, recognize that there is truth in this, and by all means, you know, connect with us via email or our Instagram posts, our Instagram feeds, and really, like, let's have this conversation. Let's, like, really open this up. And because as much as Rochelle and I want to influence you, we really want to see this shift in the holistic, really in all medical space, but really in the holistic space, where, you know, there's a lot of damaging information coming out from many different, you know, people around, you know, just things that aren't rooted in science, that just aren't rooted in the truth.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. We've seen thousands of patients in this. We've seen the journey from start
yep.
to end. So yeah.
Yep. So simple's where it's at, and we want to support you on that way. So, Rochelle, this has been obviously an amazing conversation,
yeah.
and let's keep these going. I can't wait till we connect again. And thank you to the audience who continue to blow our minds with, you know, how much you're supporting, and thank you for the feedback. And we just really love doing these and appreciate you listening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Christie.
Okay,
Until next time.
okay. Okay, bye.